Yeah, Warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices and stand up this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tolkien Audio, we hold down the fort.
Hello, everybody. Welcome inside. Hey. Impromptu edition of the Talk and Audio podcast. Matt Robinson coming to you from our studio well outside of beautiful Bytown, Canada, a satellite studio that you often hear me from over the summer. Still here at the family cottage. Wasn't really planning on doing this, but well, things happen. It's Sunday. It's around 5 o'clock, and I can tell you the exact moment where I hit my limit on my brother-in-law, who we've talked about on this show for a while. It was 4:39 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, and if I'm being honest, no one crazy comment that sent me over the edge this time. Nothing, no one thing that was just like, all right, I'm tapping out. But we did get to that moment. We did reach the tap-out moment, and it was more of a critical mass thing, right? Where you're just there long enough, enduring it long enough, and you just kind of go, well, what I said before, like, all right, this is enough of that, and I'm done. So this is one of the few things I can justifiably excuse myself from the proceedings to go do. Oh, no, we do the Monday show, right? Gotta go record the Monday show. It's a holiday Monday. There wasn't going to be a Monday show. Plans were already made for what was going to be done for Tuesday morning this week. But here we are. I appreciate you, good listener, giving me the excuse to disappear and go do this. I grabbed something quickly to sip on here. It is, well, we'll get to it in a second. Just reached into the fridge, grabbed whatever I could, and disappeared upstairs to go record. I will say it's about a million degrees up here right now because it is 26 and sunny at the lake. And I have retired up here to come talk to you instead of staying outside and enjoying it. But also enduring the barrage of whatever was going to continue to fall out of his mouth. So this one, I know I've had it before on the show. There's nothing special about it. It's called the Sneaky Weasel. And I guess you could use that term to describe me right now, using the podcast as a good reason to disappear. It is from Vancouver, BC. This is one you find now in the LCBO fairly often. And so, like I said, I've had this one before, 5.2%, but kind of exactly what I'm looking for right now in just like a standard lager. Like I said, it's hot outside, it's hot in here, and just something to go down while we chat. Mm-hmm. So the Sneaky Weasel. Look, gorgeous long weekend, at least where I am, here in Kawartha Lakes, and not far from Bob Cajun. Saturday, kind of, I don't know, 23, 24, mostly sunny, and then 26 and all sun on Sunday, which was awesome. My nieces and nephews have been around. They've already been in the water. No shot you were getting me in yet. I like to swim when I'm up here. I'm in the water pretty often. May long feels a little too early, and they're all reporting. It's not too bad. Like, they're all saying that it's... And looking at them coming out, there's no blue faces, there's no teeth chattering, nothing like that. So maybe the water's a little warmer than I'm expecting, but it was too soon for me. I wasn't jumping in. But it's been fun to watch them playing and kicking off their summer a little earlier. But, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, and we're not going to harp on it. But, yeah, you just sort of you hit your boiling point with certain characters in the show. And it actually reminds me a little bit, if you guys remember the way Homer used to react on The Simpsons whenever his sisters-in-law would come knock on the door and he'd kind of give you that shudder, that...
Homer, can you get the door? It's my sister's. Homer, be nice.
Okay, I will. Are you coming over here like... Patty! Delma, what a pleasant surprise.
What do you know? He's wearing pants. I owe you a lunch.
And that's it. Come downstairs, you hear the kids playing outside, you can't wait to go outside and see what they're up to, and then louder than any other voice, louder than the kids, louder than anybody else talking, it's the brother-in-law blathering away about something, and you just stop, and you give that that shudder. You're like, all right, brace yourself, here we go. I'm sure the next time Rob is on, which will actually be a week from today. He'll be back in his normal Monday spot. He typically likes to pick at this a little bit, likes to know how things went down. And keep in mind, I think I've done pretty well. As most of you know who listen to the show regularly, I've actually been down here for a week. I came down a week ago for Mother's Day. My mother's birthday is also a week later. It always falls very similarly, like they're very close together this year. It just happened to be exactly 7 days later. So I just stayed, did a couple of shows remotely, and then had a couple things pre-recorded in studio that we threw up on the podcast feed. So this is, I actually think I've done pretty well to have made it to the Sunday of the long weekend after being here for a week. And look, I haven't seen the guy every day, anything like that. But even on a long weekend on its own, to have made it to 4:30 on the Sunday, I think I'm doing pretty good. Less good. It's not probably healthy that I come on here and vent about it to you guys. But yeah, he doesn't listen. So other people listen. I don't know if this ever gets back to him or not. But anyway, headed home to the studio on Monday. I mentioned we threw a couple things up on the podcast feed, even though I've been away. Lever and I touched base on Wednesday morning. That was the 9th anniversary of Tall Can Audio. Been doing this thing for 9 years. I don't blame you. We got a lot of feedback saying, oh man, I got on way later than that. I just found you in the last little bit. And we appreciate that. A lot of you saying, you know, now it's a regular part of my podcast listening. Look, it's fine. Early days, almost nobody was listening. So I don't blame you if you're showing up here late. But that's the number of years for us that we've been doing it. So that was fun with Lee. And then on Thursday and Friday, we had a two-part conversation. It wasn't really meant to be. But Matt Connus Vita from TSN 1200 was on here with me, and that guy knows music like almost nobody else I know. Really bright, really knows his stuff. And so we had a conversation with him about best concerts we've seen, right? Best live music experiences and things like that. So that was episode, I can't remember off the top of my head the numbers, but that was on Thursday and Friday. We dropped those. And the conversation just happened to go so well and for us was so engrossing. I hope it was for you, but made sense to split it into two episodes. And so, yeah, I dropped those on Thursday and Friday. If you haven't had a chance to check those out yet, tallcanaudio.com or wherever you're hearing us right now on your podcast app, you just scroll down a little, right? It's the last thing we posted. On Tuesday, I mentioned already had something planned and it's actually already been recorded because as you guys can imagine, not always easy to find one of our regulars on a holiday Monday. Hey, you want to come in and instead of, especially the first one, right? Kicking off the summer, May long weekend, and it's gorgeous weather. Hey, you want to leave whatever you're doing and enjoying to come sit in our dark studio and record something for Tuesday morning? It's a tough sell. It's a tough go. But our buddy Steve McLean, who knows junior hockey like just about nobody else I know, used to host the OHL Fanboy podcast, and that, of course, that show has shut down, but he is still touring all over the country all the time, visiting these rinks, watching these teams. And so he'll be on the show on Tuesday to tee up the Memorial Cup, which starts this week, of course. And so he was good enough to sit down with me on Saturday and pre-record that, and then neither of us had to blow up our holiday Monday. And like I said, that was supposed to be the show that kicked off the week. I did not expect to be doing a holiday Monday episode of the podcast, but as we already covered, you know, it was a good enough reason to slide away and come and talk to you guys. So look for that on Tuesday morning. Steve McLean will help us tee up the Memorial Cup. That's going to be a lot of fun. As I said, this wasn't in the books. This wasn't on the schedule. So I haven't exactly prepared a list of topics. So what do you want to talk about? I probably should have thought this through a little more. I see Man City won the English Premier League again. Do you want to talk about that? You want me to pretend I know things about soccer? Yeah, we're not going to do that. Look, the Jays, as I sit here right now, just salvaged a game in a 3-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays. They needed more, obviously. This was not a time where they could afford to go out and only get 1 out of 3 games. It's not gone well, and I guess the two things that are noteworthy from the last couple of days are the press conference from Ross Atkins, and then maybe the, you know, obviously the losing 2 out of 3 is noteworthy, but maybe what you'll take away more than anything else is a second really good start by Alek Manoah on Sunday afternoon. Goes 7 innings, no runs given up. I think he had just given up the one hit. And that comes on the heels of his last start, where he also went deep, no earned runs against. And so now you're in a place where he's gone 14 innings over his last two starts, no earned runs against, I think 5 hits total. And you can sort of start to string some things together. And for his confidence, if nothing else, like, should we as a fan base be expecting that this is what he is again now? That he's back every time he goes out there, 6-7 innings, giving up almost nothing? I think that's premature. But if you're ever going to see him get back to even close to what he was in 2022, his confidence is going to have to be the thing that comes first and allows him to get there. And stringing starts like this together is how you're going to do that, right? He and you could see it as that game was going along. He's back doing his thing after the strikeouts, kind of taking his little walk around the mound after big strikeouts. The things that used to make people hate him, we all remember, Verdugo with the Red Sox. There's been other guys as well where he's celebrating, he's fist pumping, he's flexing. All these things are a little over the top and that you can get away with when you're in contention for a Cy Young, but that you can't get away with when you're getting knocked around and sent to the minors. You're seeing those things come back, and you saw it at the end of that 7th inning when he finished it, the big yell and the flex and the, you know, whether you love it or hate it, it does show you he's sort of starting to return to form a little bit and he's feeling himself a little bit. And that's where we had to get with him. So as a fan base, if you're still sitting there, if you're a fan of the Toronto Blue Jays and you're looking at what this guy's doing right now, I'm not suggesting that you need to forget everything that we've seen and he is back and this is what you should expect now. This is going to take some time for a fan base to get their confidence back in him. But before we do, he has to. And so this is a solid start. 2 games in a row like this. And I had one of our listeners tweet at me after his last start and say, you know, what do you think? Is he back? And I understood that that was a little bit tongue in cheek. But this is sort of what I said at the time, was that he looked great. And if he could string a couple of these together, maybe that would go to his confidence. Maybe that would sort of get him back in that groove going, hey, I can trust this pitch. Hey, I can get this done at this level and give you that extra little bit of jam, that extra little bit of fuck you that he used to have in his game to go to something that he, you know, conventionally speaking, you wouldn't throw in a certain situation, but that's what he would throw back when he was at his best. Because let's keep in mind, this isn't a guy who throws 98, right? His fastball comes in a little lower than that, and part of what he does is having movement on those pitches and throwing pitches in situations where other guys wouldn't, and you catch someone off balance. It takes balls to do that, and so to see him have a performance like he did on Sunday, I think goes a long way to stringing this together. Are there going to be bumps on the road? Yeah. I think you're going to see that. But he needs to feel it again. And you can see that that's coming back. And he was feeling it today. So 2 back-to-back starts like that for Alek Manoah can only make him feel better. And over the course of time, make us feel better. And we need to feel better. Because this team isn't performing. And it's so funny. You know, obviously we want Alek Manoah back. Obviously the more great pitching you have, it's never going to be a bad thing. But most of what we've seen all season is an inability to hit. And so what you really would like to see is a Vlad or a Bo returning to form and being dominant. You'll take another pitcher doing it because the pitching's been at times great, but not necessarily consistently great. And really that applies more to the bullpen. So having Alek Manoah back is like, okay, great. It's another day on the schedule in the rotation where we expect if he gets back to where he used to be, we won't be giving up a ton. But if we still can't score, that's going to be a problem. Now, through this series against Tampa, I don't think you'd say that's what the problem was. They put up 5 again on Sunday. Earlier in the weekend, they had scored enough and pissed it away in the 9th inning. That was a really painful loss. So it's not just now an offensive thing. Like, I guess we should address the press conference that Ross Atkins had at on Saturday morning on Saturday. And if you're this type of guy, and I often am, if you're a skeptic, if you're looking for the worst in people, you would look at this and go, huh, could have spoken any time while the wheels were coming off. You chose the Saturday of a long weekend. Just like you chose to do that on the on Canadian Thanksgiving long weekend back in the fall. That's interesting, Ross. I wonder if we could start drawing lines between these things on how you plan to handle the PR of your job here when things aren't going very well. Excuse me, you sneaky weasel, you. I don't know what anyone expected. People were furious at this press conference because he didn't say anything. But he was never going to. Ross Atkins meets with the media does not mean Ross Atkins speaks to the media. He doesn't talk. He doesn't offer you anything. It's platitudes. The nickname, and I like it. I know it gets overused. I often find myself laughing when people use the term the Ross bot, because that's sort of what he comes off as. And I don't know this time whether I sort of, you know, have I just been dulled to it? Have I just seen it enough times that I don't care? Or did I just see it coming from far enough away? I kind of walked, like, I didn't even bother watching it. I saw the tweets, I saw the articles afterwards, and I did see the highlights of it, but I did not make a point of watching this one like I did for the Thanksgiving one after the playoff loss to the Twins. Because I just knew he wasn't going to give you anything. And maybe he shouldn't. But it is going to piss off the fan base every time you come out and say, hey, be patient. Well, being patient's pretty tough right now. Arden Zwelling laid this out on the latest edition of the At the Letters podcast, which I believe dropped Thursday, if not Friday. The spot that the Blue Jays are in. And while you're not really able to do much right now, not a lot of teams are looking to make huge trades right now, although we've seen a couple that would have helped the Jays. But you're going to have to go 70 and 50 the rest of the way just to get to where you were last year. And that was just enough to squeak into that wild card. If you recall, most of the year they were kind of home and cooled in that wild card spot, and then it got really hairy. You're going to have to go 70 and 50 just to get there again. Like, obviously, we all understand the division has sailed. But can you get ahead of some of these other teams that are kind of middling along with you and get into a wild card? It's going to be tough. There are teams we expect to be better moving forward, and I don't know yet how much you expect the Jays to be better, but to go 70 and 50, man, that's not a pace that most teams set. And we're talking division winners now. You're going to have to play that kind of baseball the rest of the way, and they haven't shown you any indication that they're going to do that. And so, just to squeak into a wild card, you're going to have to play at division winning pace. That's the spot they're in. And so there needs to be some urgency. And Ross Atkins said as much. But he also said, but we need to show some patience. I don't know how those things play together. Now, if you look at Vlad over the last month or so, hitting over 300 if you factor, you know, just the month of May in. That's great. Happy to see him turning it around. Still got only 4 home runs. The power hasn't come. Your baseball people that are smarter than me will tell you the power is the last thing to come. So, okay, maybe that'll be all right. But he is hitting more. He is hitting better. You know, he's sort of got out of the brutal slump for him that he started the season with. That's a good sign. Kevin Gausman had a couple of rocky starts to begin the year, but you sort of expected that after the spring that he had. You know, Romano, I know people are still dumping on him, and I sort of get it. I understand that there isn't that feeling that he is a lockdown guy. I share it too. I know there's a lot of people out there that will look at the numbers and shoot that down and say you should feel more confident. If you don't, that's okay. I'm sort of with you there. I don't think he's coming in every time to pour a gas can on a bad situation, but I get it that you don't feel super confident in it. Swanson, again, brutal spring. Is he going to get back and going? All these things need to click, and they're going to have to make a move or two, but we don't know yet in what way. You just lost 2 of 3 again to Tampa. You got the White Sox coming up here, and you're going to play them 6 times over your next 12 games. You need to crush those guys. But those guys are coming to Toronto going, Toronto's the team we need to crush. Like, this is sort of the class you've put yourself in. And if you do that, like, if you crush the White Sox and you start to get a little bit hot, maybe you can put yourself back in the mix. But if not, if you kind of sputter along like this, you're kind of just going to end up at the deadline going, well, you know, I guess we trade Jimmy Garcia. I guess we trade Yusei Kikuchi and maybe more. Now, we can have the greater discussion later about whether you want Ross Atkins to be the guy who does that. I think that's a fair question to ask. But this next 3-4 weeks is going to tell the tale on your season. There will be moves to be made. If they get themselves back in it, maybe they will bolster this lineup. But if not, you're selling. This is unheard of, like unthinkable, just months ago. So that's sort of the situation there. And I get why people were pissed about that press conference. I don't get why people were surprised by that press conference, but I do get why they found it frustrating or, you know, kind of a piss off. I don't know how deep right now to get into the hockey thing. As we sit here Sunday afternoon, the Oilers kept it alive on Saturday. There will be a Game 7 Monday night. That's going to be intense. 9 o'clock start. That's going to be irritating. I'm sure Vancouver fans are irritated that it starts an hour early for them. That's a 6 p.m. start. The rest of us are out here in the East going, come on. Give me that 8 o'clock at least. I can handle that. But we are set on the eastern side. It's New York, Florida. That should be a good series. And I've been honest about this. Obviously, I was going to be interested in the Leaf series because that's my thing. But beyond that, I didn't find the East all that interesting. You had a bunch of trash kicking around at the bottom in the beginning with the Capitals and the Islanders and teams that you just don't really care about watching. And then as I talked to Lever about, that was my pout series, right? The Panthers and the Bruins that I didn't really want to watch. So Rangers and Hurricanes was okay at times. The West was where it was going to be fun, and Dallas, Colorado turned out to be pretty good. Vancouver and Edmonton has turned out to be pretty good. And I think Dallas versus either one of these teams in the next round, I'd prefer to see Dallas, Edmonton as someone with no horse in the race. And I say that I probably would prefer to see Edmonton win. If you asked me, just based on who do you want to see win, not what you think the best series is going to be in the next round, I still probably would pick Edmonton. But I think Dallas-Edmonton would be killer in the next round. I think Dallas-Vancouver would be fine, but a bit of a step back from that. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes. I don't know how deep to get into it now and give many thoughts just because we don't have the matchups yet. And we did get a press release on Sunday morning that Rod Brind'Amour and his coaching staff would be staying in Carolina. I know a lot of the experts sort of expected that Brind'Amour usually doesn't sign until he feels like his assistant coaches have been taken care of in a way that's acceptable to him. So I guess that got done and he'll be sticking around. We didn't get details yet on what the contract is, but one that we did get on Friday at 5 o'clock, this was weird. The Leafs sign Craig Berube. And the reason I didn't immediately jump up and do a show then was, A, it was the Friday night of a long weekend. But also, this had been rumored. We had talked about it already a little bit on the show. Most people knew it was coming. They were just doing their due diligence and taking their time. It still came off really weird to make that announcement at exactly 5 o'clock on the dot. It was tweeted out by the Leafs on the Friday of a long weekend. That's normally where you do your bad news dump. Now, they'll have a press conference on Tuesday. I believe it's at 11 o'clock. If there's anything of note there, maybe we'll pod on it. Lever will be back in here on Wednesday afternoon to do the usual Thursday drop. So there will be a gap in between the Memorial Cup show and the Lever show. Maybe I'll jump in and react if there's anything of note there. But to make the announcement at 5 o'clock on the Friday of a long weekend came off really weird to me. But whatever. The early reactions are weird. People are over the moon, and I think he might be fine. And as we've sort of talked about in a couple different scenarios, whether it be Keefe, whether it be Marner, maybe this team does just need change for the sake of change. But I'm not that excited. I'm not dreading it. I don't think he's a terrible choice. But as I tweeted out on Friday when they made the announcement, this to me is a lot like Brad Treliving last year. They've hired a perfectly mid guy. Yeah, he's got a ring. He's got a ring. Well, a lot of coaches have a ring, and not many coaches have a ring in two different cities. That's not to say he can't do it. I don't think this guy is coming in here to let the Stars run wild and you know, try and do this wide open hockey thing again. But I also think it's crazy to expect this is a drill sergeant coming in, you know, who's going to whip everyone into shape. That's just not the way this stuff works anymore. Will he have a different approach than Sheldon Keefe? Will it be a different voice than Sheldon Keefe? Of course. And maybe that is enough to kind of get everybody's attention a little bit. But as we talked about a couple times, right now this team's just not good enough. And so I think it's fine to change coaches. And I don't think Craig Berube's a bad coach. But it does nothing to get me excited. We'll have to see what this lineup is going to look like. You know, who's going to get moved in, who's going to get moved out. I do expect them to build a heavier team to kind of continue in that direction. You know, I don't know if, you know, last summer when they signed Tyler Bertuzzi, I said to on here and in a few places, Tyler Bertuzzi is not Todd Bertuzzi. And I think we saw that play out this year. And that's not a slam on the guy. In the second half, he was very useful. And I thought he was okay in the playoffs. I don't necessarily object if they can find a reasonable number to them bringing him back. But he's more of a pest than a power forward, right? So that's sort of, do they bring him back? Or do they look for bigger and heavier guys? We sort of saw Brad Treliving do that at the deadline with Edmondson and Lyubushkin. They signed Cade Weber there, trade for Cade Weber, who's, I don't know, like 6'8 or whatever the hell he is. He's just a monster of a guy. Like, is that the road we're fully embracing now and going down? I don't know. But the excitement over Berube, to me, seems a little over the top. And I do understand there was a lot of people that were just, whatever. I'm done with Sheldon Keefe. Bring me someone new. And if that was your thing, I certainly understand why someone new is enough to get you excited. And I, as I said on here, I felt it was time to. They needed it. And again, sometimes just because it's change for the sake of change, and coach is the easiest thing to change. So that's okay. But am I certain that he's a better coach than Craig Berube? I'm not. Or than Sheldon Keefe, excuse me. I'm not. I don't think he's worse. I don't think it's a terrible hire. It just doesn't fire me up all that much. And as I said, it's sort of the Brad Treliving thing. Yeah. He's a guy. He's fine. The Boston pizza comparison that I made last summer. So we'll see where it goes. They'll do the press conference on Tuesday. Like I said, I believe it's at 11 a.m. Eastern. And then we'll see what they do to the roster and what kind of team Craig Berube is going to be coaching next year. Because that's going to be as important as anything else, obviously. So, but I think if you're expecting this hard change of direction in any way, like I said, into this drill sergeant 1995 New Jersey Devils, it's not going to happen. If you're expecting him to you know, motivate them into this run and gun, highest scoring team in the league, it's not going to happen. It's just a coach, and he might be a good coach. And based on sort of what I'm talking or who I'm talking to and what I'm hearing and reading, it almost reminds me of more like a Pat Quinn coach, and some of you kids aren't old enough to remember that. Pat Quinn wasn't a master strategist. He had assistant coaches that did that, but he was a good motivator, and guys wanted to play for him. guys really respected Pat Quinn, and he could deliver a good speech and these sorts of things. But in terms of the tactics, that was left to someone else. And you saw that as well in like 2002 and 2004 at the Olympics and the World Cup when Pat Quinn was the coach of Team Canada. Jacques Martin and Ken Hitchcock were on the bench with him. And I can tell you for sure, those guys were your tacticians. Those guys were the one drawing up the X's and O's on the PK and the defense and your forward systems and your power play. Pat Quinn was the motivator. Pat Quinn was the leader. And that can work if you surround him with the right guys. That can work for Craig Berube. We'll see what he's going to bring in for assistance. But that's probably enough for today. Hey, we did okay here, considering we had nothing on the agenda, nothing to talk about. We did all right. Like I said, Tuesday morning, our buddy Steve McLean will be here to help tee up the Memorial Cup. Lever will be back later this week. We got some other irons in the fire as well over the next week or two that people were looking to get in here. And now that I'll be back in the city, will be easier to do so. But hope you're all having a fantastic long weekend. I'll spend most of my holiday Monday driving back to Ottawa. So that's always a bummer. And it would be hard to say right now, because like I said, it's 26 degrees and sunny here at the lake. But it always feels like the day you have to drive back is the nicest day of the long weekend. So we'll see if that pans out, but I'm not sure how it could be nicer than today. So we'll see what that looks like. Hope you're all, like I said, having a great long weekend. Hope you all enjoy your holiday Monday. I appreciate you checking this one out. Stick around on Tuesday for Steve McLean and that Memorial Cup tee-up show. Lever later in the week. Rob back again next Monday. Thank you so much for listening to this. I'm going to return to the family goings-on. If nothing else, one beer deeper. We'll see as I have to engage with old what's-his-name. Has the beer helped make me more tolerant, or has the beer loosened my tongue? We'll report back on that. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourselves a great holiday Monday. My name is Matt Robinson. We'll see you next time. Yo, Kettle Warriors are kicking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. We're the champions of crack.